Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today. Teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and send us home changed. We pray this in your holy threefold name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, and immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. Inside your bulletin today, you have a lot of good stuff about current and upcoming events. Take a look at it. Look on both sides. There's a chant on it so you can sing freely. It'll be posted on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall and also on the website, consciousharmony.org. It's time for fall work groups. We have between now and August the 10th to look over the material. It's posted on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall. It's also online, and you can get it in the church office. And when any of us participates in this kind of a study, it enriches everybody. We're all connected unconsciously, and it manifests in our being as we interact. So it's rich stuff, spiritual enzymes for our transformation. And then we also know here that the physical component of our spiritual practice is very important. So it's great to have yoga back at the Church of Conscious Harmony. When you have study that's grounded in the two legs of the church and practitioners who are practicing, it's more than just a yoga class. And we also have Gurdjieff movements. Registration for both of these is available. What a precious gift, the Gurdjieff movements, for those that do bring us instruction. And the music, it's an amazing thing. Maybe this will be the year that you decide to investigate into Gurdjieff movements or rekindle your own Gurdjieff practice. And on one page in our bulletin is all our fall offerings. Take it home, your ticket to participation. Take a picture of it, put it on your phone, post it, put it on your refrigerator. A lot of good stuff for the fall. And a two-day commuter retreat on August 15th and 16th. We got more information on the insert and also on the website. And as part of our ministry here at CCH, we give back to Caritas. So We collect non-perishable food items to be donated. Please bring your donations next Sunday, August 2nd, usually the first Sunday of every month. There will be a collection table near the kitchen. And let's all have a future memory of helping take the bags to whoever's car, usually Sue, and helping out because many hands make light work. If this is your first time to the Church of Conscious Harmony, please stop by the table in the fellowship hall after service or perhaps on the bridge. There will be someone there that will have questions for you, answers for you, maybe some questions, some material for you to take home, and you can begin a dialogue. And now Lori has a message.
Good morning. Why are we here? This is not just a meaning of life question. I really mean, why are we right here, right now, in this sanctuary? Because there are a lot of places that we could be. Is this okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay. For myself, I'm pretty much in awe to be sitting here right now because for many years I kind of rubber banded in and out of this place. I came here for a lot of reasons. I wanted to be inspired. I wanted to learn something. Some of the more mundane reasons, I was bored. I was curious. I wanted to figure out how to be a better person, or how to make someone else a better person. I wanted to feel good about myself, and I wanted to be thought of as a good person or a spiritual person. But I was always aware that I was deeply, deeply hungry for something, and I didn't quite know what it was. So maybe some of this resonates with you. There's really nothing wrong with any of that, any of those reasons. But they didn't seem to hold me here. I would be inspired, I would learn. But eventually, something would tick me off and I would walk out indignantly. That was before I knew that the ticked off thing was inside me. But one day, after 8 or 10 years of this back and forth, my beloved gave me the most wonderful gift that he could have given me. He left. And it shocked me to the core. I mean, I thought we were doing pretty good. After 2 failed marriages, he seemed to be the one that was helping me to heal, that was helping me to realize that men aren't all bad. So I didn't see this coming, and it put me on my knees. And I cried oceans of tears. And I called out to God. And I asked God for something solid to stand on. Because everything in my life was shaky and slipping and sliding around. So God answered my prayer and I decided to come back here. God called me back here, for real. And when I got here, I thought, maybe I should try some of that centering prayer everybody's talking about. And so I did. And it was good. And after a while, I thought, that centering prayer is going pretty well. I wonder what would happen if I sat in on one of those work classes that they have here every week. And I did, and it was good. And one thing led to another, and so I'm still amazed to be here. But I have to say that I am the poster child for seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all this will be added unto you, because my beloved is sitting right over there. And 11 years ago, we married right here. And now when I'm pondering why I'm here and why I keep coming here, the deepest and highest answer I can come up with is that I have tasted a presence, and it is vast, and it is beyond anything that I could ever connect with before. And it's vastly beyond what I think of as I. And though I might seem to lose it, or it might go away sometimes, it doesn't really. I never truly forget it. I know it is right here, and I wish to be in more and more relationship with it. It knows me. It loves me. It's calling me. And though my days may be filled with the details and activities and responsibilities of regular life, I know that my real life story is about this presence and my relationship to it. And I wish to surrender everything to it, always and forever. So one word for this countercultural orientation to life is devotion. God devotion. And serving this God devotion is the very reason for being of the Church of Conscious Harmony. It says in our bylaws, the Church of Conscious Harmony exists for the sole purpose of facilitating the spiritual journey for people who want to make God devotion the center of their lives while living in the ordinary world without the aid of monastery walls. Our aim is to provide the focus, the teaching, and the community support required for individuals to grow in self-awareness from the illusion of separate and separative existence to the fully enlightened experience of conscious union with the living God. And when I look at that fall calendar summary, I'm in awe at all the ways that our church does indeed nurture that journey. And so I've come to realize that this devotion can hold me and nourish me and keep me in place when I'm internally wobbling, so that I can receive the gifts that each and every one of us is capable of receiving. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. So devotion is what this book is all about. This is our recently completed community reading. It's by Dr. David Hawkins. It's called Discovery of the Presence of God, Devotional Non-Duality. Did anybody get a chance to read this together? Good. It's wonderful, and I highly recommend it. And one of the great things about it is that Dr. Hawkins describes the spiritual journey using very non-dogmatic language, very, very clean, very refreshing, very straightforward, nothing to get in the way of our understanding. It's a radical confirmation of the divinely inspired of this church and what we do here. So I wrote down, there was so many, this morning I took out about 100 markers out of here, it seemed like it, you know, so instead of trying to flip back and forth pages, I transcribed a few things that he wrote, and we can talk about it. He writes, at a certain period in spiritual evolution, and by ascent of the will, there arises the inner decision to seriously and actively pursue spiritual awareness for its own sake. This may be accompanied by a change of lifestyle or the seeking out of spiritual teachers or communities. And then in another place he writes, why is devotion necessary or important? The mind is often aware of error and character defects, but it alone lacks the power or incentive to surrender them. Devotion is of the heart and has the strength and motivation to overcome resistances and obstacles beyond the capacity of mere mentalization. And he uses this word mentalization a lot, and to me it always brings to mind that hamster wheel of going round and round that our brains do, that the work calls inner considering, internal considering. And so we know we want to be love. We know we want to embody what 1 Corinthians 13 says, that love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, love endures all things. And yet we find it impossible. We say, how do we do that? Even with my very, very, very beloveds, I find myself in reaction. And so the answer is that by ourselves, we can't do it. He's saying this kind of transformation has to come from a deep longing, a wish of the heart. And it lives in each of us if we choose it. He says this desire is already a divine gift to be treasured and revered. Many are called, but few are chosen, could be rephrased as, many are called, but few choose to follow. Thus the choice is by decision and the ascent of the inner will, and by this ascent the enormous power of divine will aligns with intention and empowers devotion to overcome all obstacles. Spiritual intention, effort, and decision potentiate the evolution of consciousness from the linear limited to the nonlinear allness of reality. Spiritual intention, effort, and decision. Devotion. So I also think of that as wish. This is what the work calls wish. And to me, wish is a deep, three-centered prayer. A prayer from all of our being, my head, my heart, my body, and the part of me that I don't even know about yet. The gospel says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And I was listening to Bernadette Roberts recently on the videotape series, and she said that she didn't understand that. She didn't feel this sentimental feeling for God. She didn't know what that meant by love God. And then she got, and I think her father helped her with this, as I recall, that love for God is will to God. It is focus, intention, attention. It's turning and returning and turning once again our faces toward God, like flowers toward the sun. So in the work of inner Christianity, we say, wish is the most powerful thing. And Dr. Hawkins says, intention activates the progress from possibility to probability to actuality. And of course the gospel says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. So it was a wonderful discovery to me that I could wish any time, wish like that. It doesn't take much linear time to be able to instantly drop into my body, to feel my feet on the ground, to consciously open my heart to God and to wish for something. And maybe it's the healing of some ailment or relationship or situation. Maybe it's to be able to let go of something we've been holding on to forgive and be forgiven. Or maybe we hear something here in this room or in one of the classrooms here or outside here or read something in spiritual literature or in the commentaries that we study for the work. And it talks about what is possible for me, and immediately it doesn't take anything at all to feel my feet on the ground, drop into my heart and my body and say, oh God, may it be so. That's what it is. In fact, we can wish big right now. Let's just try something. Let's do an experiment with a big wish. Maybe the biggest wish we can wish. So let's close our eyes and feel our feet on the ground. Feel the chair supporting us. Breathe deeply and relax. Open our heart center. Fully embodied, relaxed, and open, we pray. Here I am, God. I am yours. I wish to let go of all that keeps me separate from you, from others, and from my highest good. I wish, I will, your will for me and for all beings on the planet. I wish to serve the highest good for all. Make me a channel for your love, that I might learn the lessons I came here to learn and realize the full potential you implanted in me from the very beginning of time. With gratitude and certainty that it is already done, in the name of the one Christ, all of us, I pray. Amen. Of course, we have no idea what we're in for now. Oops, sorry. So we wish. And then Hawkins says that another aspect of devotional love is constancy, as well as loyalty and commitment, no matter what. It's fortitude and a continual realignment with our aim. And we have a saying here that we keep our practice, and our practice keeps us. So we have two foundational, I guess you would call them practices. We call them legs of the church. One is centering prayer, and one is the work of inner Christianity. So many of us know about centering prayer. It opened me up. I won't say it began my journey, because I think my journey began a long, long time ago. But it moved me in a new way. It changed things for me. It reoriented my head about life. Father Keating says that when we go within into the silence, that we're giving God permission to do an archaeological dig on us. And God, in God's own time, brings up all the emotional baggage of a lifetime to be healed. And in the prayer, we deepen our relationship with God. We learn to trust that nothing's going to go too fast.
Nothing's going to harm us. It is all for our good. So it increases our trust and our faith. And by returning over and over and over again, ever so gently to our sacred word, we signal our continued willingness to participate in this profound co-creation. And so we begin to experience the ability to turn toward God more and more in our lives. It's like working out that muscle. So we may return to our sacred word 100 times. It's 100 times that we're turning back to God. And so we begin during our daily life to use that muscle as well. Oops, I forgot. Oops, I fell down. Ah, there's God. And then Father, Dr. Hawkins says, devotion is like an inner valor or fortitude that incorporates courage, willingness, and conviction, together with the knowledge of essential information. It develops wisdom, patience, and forbearance with experience. Because of focus, it also develops skill and aptitude for processing the levels of consciousness as they're encountered. Devotion learns to expect periods of delay or discouragement, as well as moments of doubt or fear. By virtue of devotion, there is alignment with inner integrity that results in the self-honesty and conviction necessary to transcend the seduction of transitory emotional payoffs of the intransigent ego. And so this made me think of the work of Inner Christianity, the other leg of our study here. In the work, we discover that whatever we see inside of ourselves that tweaks us or ticks us off, as I discovered before, is within us. So whatever we see out there that seems to be the problem is the part of ourselves that we're not seeing. And we learn to self-observe and watch our reactions, not as a judge or a critic, but as a scientist. It's like, oh, there she goes again. She's doing it again. Huh. The light is shined in the darkness. And so in this way, we begin to separate, to non-identify from all that stuff, all of our reactions, all of our negative emotions, all of our thoughts that go around and round and round. And we begin to surrender it and let go of it. Just the very action of really seeing it helps us to see that it's not I. It helps us to non-identify. So, because if you really see something, well, I'm over here seeing it. What is it that's seeing it? It's not the real, true self. It's not the observer. It's something else. It's something that's false. So Hawkins says a workable goal for us is to verify spiritual truth experientially and to become it rather than just conform to it. And that's what we do in the work of Inner Christianity. We try it on. We don't accept anything at face value. We read in the psychological commentaries. We read scripture. We read other spiritual books, we hear things in here, but we don't take it for face value. We have to try it on. We have to try it on experientially. And when we do, we realize that what we thought was ourselves is not truly ourselves, that God is present. When we take scripture and we read it and we sink into it and we allow it to penetrate our bodies and our minds, not trying to think about it, suddenly that scripture, that word, touches some word that's already within us. And these phrases that we've heard all of our lives that have become so familiar are new again. They light up for us. They're talking about me. Hawkins says, that which is sought is already within. And he says there may be plateaus and periods of darkness and resistance and discouragement and dismay, and that the journey is at times experientially difficult or even arduous, and that this is to be expected. But in the meantime, spiritual practices continue, such as meditation, prayer, service, and spiritual group activities. The letting go process encounters inner fixations and addictions to various ego payoffs and lures. Periods of retreat are helpful. And at other times, active involvement in spiritual activities is beneficial. So when these stuckness, doubts, fears, temptations to quit arise that we begin to recognize as just part of the journey. That's just part of it. And for me, being a part of this community, whereas Tim says we can't all be crazy on the same day, helps to hold me when those things arise, when that stuckness arises, the dryness arises, the frustration arises. And what we hear in here and in the work of Inner Christianity class, when we hear people sharing in second line groups with our work partners, they touch something in us also. And we begin to hear our own experience echoed outside of ourselves. And we begin to say, hey, their experience inspires us to stay with it. And they can self-remember for us when we cannot. And we learn to tell on ourselves and laugh at ourselves. It was so wonderful to me one time. I remember a while ago when I heard someone stand up and say, I'm a liar. And I was just like, oh my God, he admitted that? And he was laughing about it. I lie this, I lie that. And that just seems so horrifying to me. Well, that's because the one that was horrified is also not I. That's the critic. That's the judge. And he was calling out some part of himself that wasn't true. And it's so refreshing to laugh. Hawkins says, our mistakes keep us humble and therefore teachable. He says, devotion is a commitment to love with a capital L as a guiding principle, reinforced by choice and will. By surrender of the personal will and invocation, there's the intervention of divine will invoked by alignment with spiritual purpose. Even that which is most prized by the ego, the mind, the false self, can eventually be surrendered. And this was encouraging. He said, it is wise to respect even the ego itself. For without its efforts over great eons of time, one would not have even survived long enough to seek to transcendent. It was a mechanism lawfully built into us, into each of us, for our survival and for the family of humankind, for our survival. So we needed it at a certain point. We needed it up to a certain point. It's a mistake to set up the ego as one's enemy to be conquered. It is more profitable to merely adopt it as a pet and melt it with compassion. Whatever the ego did in the past was because, like a puppy, it just didn't know better. There's no profit in denouncing it as evil. To denounce it is to get stuck in the polarity, duality of good and evil, rather than viewing it as a limitation. Even the ego that should have known better actually did not, or it would not have made an error. So we're absolutely innocent. We begin to see how we've all, I have, all of us have, always been absolutely innocent. We've done the very best we could, and so has everyone else, all along the way. Now check in with that. Is there a part of you that's going, wait a minute, everyone has done the very best they could in each and every moment all along the way? So it's something to ponder and just take in. If you find a flag coming up going, I don't know about that, I'm going to put a pin in that and think about that later. He says, everything in existence is already being what it is to the fullest it can be at any given moment. Nothing moves from imperfection to perfection or from incomplete to complete, but instead from complete to complete and from perfection to perfection. All is perfect by virtue of its identities being exactly its meaning, which is its existence. The perfect seed transforms to the perfect flower. The perfect seed transforms to the perfect bud, and then to the perfect flower, and then to the perfect faded flower. All form is perfectly just what it is at any given moment. Creation moves from perfectly this to perfectly that. There's no other possibility except in the imagination. So this really, you know, just kind of does a number on that whole self-improvement program, I want to be a better person thing. Might be one of the reasons we showed up here. Everything already is exactly as it is supposed to be. A nice, old, dilapidated, dented trash can is supposed to look beat up, or it would not be a nice, old, beat-up trash can. The ego wants a shiny new one, of course. Everything in each and every moment. So one of our homeworks in the work of Inner Christianity class was recently, surrender to the present moment. Let God win. And this might look like, I wonder if there is nothing wrong here. I wonder if all is well. And this not only means what's going on out there, but my reaction to it. And then my judgment of the reaction to it. And then my judgment of the judgment. All of it. Every single bit of it. Surrender to the present moment. So Friday morning, pre-dawn, I was walking our long-haired Chihuahua, Perry, around the block. And as I crossed the street in front of our house to start the walk, I noticed a car coming from up the street toward me. And then we turned the corner, and the car turned the corner. And then the car stopped in front of me. And I kept walking. We kept walking along until we almost got up to the car. And then the car started up again and drove up the street, crossed the street, and then stopped again once more before continuing on. And I turned another corner, and we kept walking. And then I turned around because I heard a car behind me. And I don't know if it was the same car or a different car. And at this point, I notice that my thoughts are going faster and faster. And this car continued the way the other car, maybe it was the other car, maybe this is a new car. Anyway, it continued back the way we had come. So I saw it going back down the parallel street to the one I was about to turn on. So I'm feeling my heart pounding, and I'm feeling, you know, my stomach grabbing up, and there was fear. And there were crazy thoughts going round and round. And as I turned the next corner, I looked ahead, and I saw the stop sign on the corner in front of me, and it was lit up from the side. Huh. Is that a car stopped or going toward that stop line sign that's shining on that stop sign? And the thoughts are going, and the gut is tighter, and I look down, and my left hand that's holding the leash reaches over, and it forms the items in my right hand into the shape of a gun. I'm just watching this. And it's pretty silly because later, as I look back on it, the objects that were in my right hand were a turned off flashlight and a poop bag. And finally, I prayed as I'm walking, "Oh God, come to my assistance. Oh Lord, make haste to help me." And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I reached the corner, and I turned the corner, and there was no car, just a street light shining on the stop sign. And as you know now, Perry and I made it home safely. And this occasion was an occasion for great work for me, and it may still be to come. Because even when I thought about the incident later, even though everything was all right, I could feel my heart speeding up again. It was as if it was happening all over again. It's interesting, these memories. Interesting how these things get installed. And I had a lot of negative emotions to look at. I had fear, I had anger, I had judgment of myself for, you know, these actions, this what I thought of as my wrong response to the situation. Ooh, I need to stop. Oh no. Okay, well, so I'll tell you, so the very, very last part of that is, maybe. Is the thing that I want to share with you that from all of that is that I have had some very disdainful thoughts and judgments in my mind about segments of our population who think that the solution to violence is open carry of handguns. And it was not lost on me that I had done that. It was really interesting to me. And the situation gave me a deeper understanding, a deeper compassion for those that I had put out there separate from me. Because it's fear. It's this primal fear for your life, for your bodily safety. And I had it. I had it. It was real to me. It seemed real to me. So much so that I was carrying a flashlight poop bag gun in my hand. So if I hadn't had this church, this community, these practices, these teachings, all of you. If I hadn't had that, I wouldn't have been able to contextualize all of this. And there would not have been more forgiveness, more compassion. I think maybe because of the practices, maybe one stone has been removed from the wall that separates me from the highest good. And so I'll stop now. Thank you. Let's all stand and give our hearts to song.
Now is the time in our service when we come together to surrender to the presence and action of God in centering prayer. And we do so by acknowledging that the chair has us. We relax. We feel the gentle lift in our spine as we relax our shoulder blades, relax our jaws, relax our face. Relaxed, alert, and aware, and open. We allow our attention to drop to the area of the heart, the seat of life. And we listen with the ear of the heart to the words of the psalmist. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Enfold me in your arms of love, and with your living spirit fill me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Now we'll open to... Let us now pray together confidently for the coming of the kingdom, as Jesus is teaching us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now is the time in our service when we get to share back with the church that serves us. And in the spirit of God's abundant, infinite, overflowing generosity, we take our tithes and offerings in our hands. And we acknowledge the giving and the receiving and the giving and the receiving to our community, to the greater community through this community. And we stand in the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And let's know it together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And what a blessing it is to simply remember God. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lie that we are separate and that we are useless, acting out from fear. We pray this in the most holy threefold name. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his bodies to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after having said the blessing, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, Jesus took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of a new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence that transcends, as the very life that transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize that you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and in your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete, we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Lord, hear our prayer. Thank you for the path of devotion. And thank you for our big wish. Amen.